All right, so what is up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots Podcast, episode 58 today. Don't get mad at me for the title of this video. You know, that's just going to be a part of this. First off, if you want to talk about the at-large bits that were already announced, seating will be coming out today at 6 p.m. We're shooting this video before that, so we'll probably have something for you guys coming up seating tomorrow. At-large bids were handed out to John Birchmeyer of Navy, who I think was previously ranked top 20 in the country. Austin Harris from Oklahoma State. Again, you know, pretty average. Carter Isley from UNI is a big one. Previously ranked, I think, fifth in the country at a point. Didn't have the greatest tournament in the Big 12, I think it was.
Yeah.
Gannon Grumma ended up winning that over Brian Andrews. And Carter Isley fell to Brian Andrews. So,
yeah.
And I think Sam Schuyler from Buffalo, again, another average lower guy, probably around a 30, 32 seed. John Spalding from Edinburgh is kind of a bigger one. I don't know where exactly he's probably going to see it, somewhere around 25, I would assume. And the biggest one is going to be, obviously, Luke Levin from Illinois. Again, not any fault of his own. Came in eighth, and I told you it was an eight-man race in the Big Ten. I already said that, but no, dropped the match to Tate Orndorff. Got stuck by Hilger in the first period. Caught Hilger, took him down with a low single, caught a Turk. Went right to his back. You know, it happens. He's probably destined for one of the bigger underdog runs, if there is any, in this tournament. Granted, you know, we said before, Gable only takes one of those spots.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that being said, you know, Luffman, I think, can anywhere pull. I think probably should pull around like a 10 seed, but he's probably going to get booted all the way back to like 15 or 20. Based on what they're doing already, seeding, so.
That's true.
Carter Isley is going to be somewhere around the same area, and so will John Birchmeyer, in my opinion. I think John Spalding from Edinburgh may be a little bit lower. But, you know, a low seed of Luke Loftman is not exactly a good thing for any other guys. So, that's all I really wanted to go over with this. So we'll just toss it to the side. So, topic for discussion today, AJ Ferrari. We all know the shit he was talking, Gable Steveson, Jordan Burroughs, all that. You know, if anybody's developed a persona for people to, like, legitimately not like them, it's Gable Steveson and AJ Ferrari at this point.
Yeah.
Now, as we're saying that, AJ Ferrari has one loss right now, and that was to Noah Adams, and that was by a point. You know, I don't think Noah Adams is All-Americans. I've said that right now, but – right?
Yeah.
He's a Big 12 champ as a freshman. Most likely going to be a five-time conference champ, unless some athletic freak comes through. And the only other one we see at 197 right now is Braxton Amos, right?
Yeah.
We're going to completely disregard the whole AJ Ferrari versus Gable Steveson bullshit that was happening.
Yeah.
Gable still handles him in that match. I don't see any way that goes through. But Oklahoma State and Minnesota do wrestle each other. I'm pretty sure in the regular season. So next season?
Yeah.
If AJ's a national champ, Gable's a national champ, they square off, it's a big-ass super match. I'm going to get hyped up. You know, I think AJ's going to earn a lot of his respect back just taking the match, even if he gets his ass
pulled.
Because I don't think there's anybody out there. I don't even think John Smith believes him to win that match. That's just that being said. You know, you just saw Gable Steveson break Mason Paris last weekend.
Yes.
Like, I like to be optimistic about things, but I had no idea that that could even be coming. There are people thinking Mason Paris would win that match, and that got shut down very fast. And Gable is developing the gas tank. You know, I heard a lot of arguments, people saying AJ Ferrari might beat him because he has a better gas tank. He has to make it far enough in the match for that to matter.
Yeah.
That's kind of thing. And, you know, he's a jacked fucking dude. Like, that's the best way to put it. Like, he's strong, but how strong is he compared to heavyweights? Below average. Not very below average, but he's an undersized heavyweight, obviously. But that's not going to help him in a super matchup. And 97, how does he compare strength-wise? You know, Amin looks like to be the number one right now.
Yes.
Amin's also bumping up from 74. And he's only getting better as the season goes on. You know, same with guys like Michael Beard, Thomas Pinola from Purdue, who I think claimed to bid.
Yeah.
Nationals. He didn't have he had a rough tournament, but he did. Dude, is this lighting not working right now? Or am I just that dark? Is this lighting not working right now?
Nah, it's working.
It's working. All right, it doesn't look too bad. My bad. But yeah, you know, going into nationals, he's ranked sixth right now. Where I think he all Americans at this point, right? It's looking like a 7th to 8th place all American right now. But how many points really separate him and Miles Amin or Cordell Norfleet or Eric Schultz, who look to be the top three guys at this point in the season?
There'll be narrow matches, and I feel like that kind of favors him. Yeah. Just because, again, he can score so quickly.
Yeah. People want to say this time and time again. Like, same thing. Going back to what people say about Tom Brady. Not an athlete. Doesn't have the greatest arm. Doesn't have anything in his favor, but he's a winner.
And, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, AJ Ferrari comes in with, like, all of the credentials.
He wins
matches. And I'm watching – so the big thing, I feel like, at least in terms of like a guy like Miles Amin, who again kind of takes and chooses his shots, whenever you have the down block, whenever you have the re-attack ability that AJ Ferrari has at least shown, so he'll down block to his knees and then he'll shoot that double. That's going to be important against a guy like Miles, who, so at least in the Big Ten final, Schultz kind of forced the hand fight because he wants to get in and work his underhook. But Miles did a great job of kind of like clearing out of it, staying out of any control, which is fine because AJ Ferrari's not going to be looking to do that. Like AJ Ferrari just wants to move your feet into his double, and he can very much do that. I mean, okay, if Eric Schultz was moving Miles Amin around a little bit, then I feel like it's out of the question that AJ Ferrari doesn't move him, because he's going to at least, you know, paw on the head and snap you down. I mean, he keeps it simple, you know. There's no like,
and again, we've said that AJ Ferrari, AJ Ferrari is a bitch to wrestle. That's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah,
I've seen the dude wrestle Blair Academy, Bergen Catholic. He went to Allen, Texas after that, but again, he was known for what he did at Blair Academy at 182.
Yeah.
Then the dude started piling on weight when he went to Bergen Catholic. Went from 82 was Chris Foca, 97 was 95 was Jacob Cardenas, bumps all the way to 220. Tech fall everywhere. 4.7 40 yard dash. Ran a 4.6. I think ran a 4.5 at a point. 600-something pound deadlift, 600-pound squat. Almost a 400-pound bench, I think, at a point. Probably around 350. Yeah. He is insanely strong. He's insanely tough. And that's going to benefit him. If the match goes to overtime, I'm not picking against him.
He's probably, like, the biggest, like, freak athlete at 197.
I wouldn't – him and Cordell Norfleet. Cordell Norfleet is the biggest wild card of this tournament so far.
Yeah.
I'll say that right now. I would not be surprised if Cordell Norfleet comes out there and majors Miles Amin in the finals. Like, that's not out of the question for me. And I don't think it should be out of the question for anybody. After seeing how good that dude wrestled against Kyle Connell and Colin Moore last season, I don't see it. I don't know how anyone can count him out. I think picking against him is okay based on what Miles Amin has done, based on what Eric Schultz has done. He's not going to have the criteria against them. But see, if he comes through and pins his way through nationals, I would not be surprised. He's that much of a freak.
What I like,
that good of a wrestler.
What I like about AJ Ferrari, like at least as he has been in college, he's adjusted. Because like what happened with some dudes is that like they keep trying to wrestle like they're in high school, which just doesn't translate. Like if you think about guys like no one immediately actually comes.
So actually, AJ Ferrari just posts on Instagram right now. I'm looking at that. He's repping out the hundreds on incline bench for 11, 12. He pushes himself to failure. And that's something that work ethic is something you rarely see. Like even in wrestling where guys like talk shit about being the toughest, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like he's a big wild card. Cause if he doesn't place, it's purely due to him being young. There's no way he doesn't end up being a 3-time or 4-time All-American. And, you know, we've seen that time and time again. No?
Yes.
As much as people are going to hate to admit it because Gable again was an asshole coming in as freshman. He's still an asshole, but people are starting to get used to it. People didn't want to admit Gable would be the next big thing at heavyweight. No, it's part of that. The same thing goes with AJ Ferrari. Nobody's going to want to admit. Because he's like a prima donna, the best way you can put it.
Yeah, now I've remembered who I was thinking of. Kirk Fliett. Kirk Fliett's wrestling kind of similar to how he did in high school and in his redshirt year, and yeah. It's not translating. AJ Ferrari had a bad habit of, like, he would snap dudes' hands to the mat, and then he would wait, right? Now he's just snapping and going.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, I know that's conventional thinking. The conventional thinking on a head inside double is, you know, you want to aim at their chest. But the problem is, in high school, you can wait for guys to do that because they get up super goddamn slow compared to guys in college. Guys in college, they'll either stay down there or they'll get up and circle out faster than you can catch them. So AJ Ferrari has just been snapping dudes down and just shooting head first.
And I think that's going to be what you want. That's going to be his problem coming with Schultz and Amin. If he meets them in the bracket, they're going to stay down. You know, yeah. Something Gable did very well is Gable is not a blast double guy. He does it because it's cool. Yeah. He's a showman. That's the best way to put it. If you look back at how he's a freshman, his best thing would do, he was so good at getting guys' hands to the mat. It's not the power of the snap, it's the timing of the snap. And then he would chop the head down, get his head in the hole, and run the corner as fast as possible and go to a leg. On a heavyweight, if your balance is off that, your balance is on your hands at that point, and when it gets your leg up, you get up, Gable's just going to keep running the corner, step behind that leg with his near leg, and then you're down to the mat. He would never really try to work that Turk just because he doesn't have the frame to really, the length to work those to maximum efficiency right there. But that was something I tried implementing like my senior year when guys would shoot on me. You know, most time I'm slow as fuck, so it really didn't work. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I caught a cradle. And unlike Gable, I have like the length to cradle. And I would just take that. And then I would hit the leg and I would roll it through. And then it would be kind of good night there. Or at least back points, right? I think Kirk Fliett, again, you're going back to Kirk Fliett, right? He's going to be – people are really underestimating him because of this, right? If people are underestimating Gable because of his freshman season. People are underestimating Mason Parrish because of his freshman season. It's not as bad as it seems, right? If he's still injured, which it looks like, you know, I really hate to make excuses. Like, he lost Cassiope, he lost Paris. That's the end of that story, right? But if he's injured, I don't know how bad it is, right? That because he didn't look to be able to fight off any takedowns like he should have. Like, he didn't even look to attempt to defend them. That's the thing. That's not the way I've seen him wrestle against top level. I'd consider Yusuf Amida elite level college competition.
Yes.
Came out there and attacked him with these. Demetrius Thomas, a guy who should have All-American. No? But, again, you know, he can – guys will learn. Because who was his best – the best guy he wrestled his redshirt season? Luis Fernandez.
Yeah.
And he beat him 6-4. And, again, that's a terrible style matchup for both guys. They're both, like, 6-4. They're both leg riders on top. They both like low shots, just one's – better than the other. That's really all it came down to. Again, going back to AJ Ferrari, who's the other stud freshman in the field? Michael Beard. You know, Michael Beard, if they meet Miles Amin, I think he has his number next time. I'll say that right now. First time it was 9-5. Second time it was 8-6 in overtime. Beard slipped on the mat, which sent the match to overtime.
Yeah.
Now, does it happen again? Hopefully he doesn't slip on the mat again, you know. But it's like where – he's ranked sixth right now, right? First is Miles Amin, obviously. Second is Cordell Norfleet. Third is Eric Schultz. Fourth, I would assume, would be Cam Caffey.
Yeah.
Or am I missing some? Or am I missing Luke Davison or something? Say him, then say Cam Caffey, and then say – AJ Ferrari, you know, if that AJ Ferrari is a 6 seed, he's going to match up with Cordell Norfleet in the semis. I have really no reason to think he can't get past Schultz. I like Schultz. He was my original pick to win this, but after seeing what Miles Amin did to him, it's like, does he really win this?
Yeah.
You know, that just presents a lot of – because if you get handled 7-3 as a 1 seed, it's not a choke. It just shows that you were truly never the best guy.
Right.
You know, if same thing with Starace versus Kemmerer, I'll say that, you know, I as a Penn State fan, it pains me, but like Kemmer impressed me in that match. That's all I can say. I expected him to win. You know, I hope that Storaci can pull it off again as a freshman. That would have been impressive. But 7-1, I don't think I expect that. I expect maybe 3-2, 5-3 match at most. It all came down to if Storaci has one of the best finish rates, again, at 174.
Yeah.
But he's also very good at fakes. Like, if you look at Roman Bravo, Young, Carter Storaci, Greg Kirkfleet, is literally small, medium, large of the same wrestler.
Yeah.
I just thought about it. Somebody posted that on my post, and I thought that was cool shit to think about. But, yeah. Dude, how does he fare, though? It's like, what has to happen for him to win the national title? You know, obviously you're going to need a little bit of luck as a freshman. That's just good as that being said. No freshman comes through and walks
He has to keep it close. Yeah. He has to keep it close. That's always going to be that's always going to be how it is with him. So, like, he blows through a lot of people, but at least the way with you know, how this season panned out, he wasn't able to, you know, compete with the Big Ten, so he wasn't able to really get a feel for that. So, my big thing with this is that against a guy like – and in general, you want to keep your wrestling matches narrow just because, like, the more narrow the score is whenever – because he's going to – I mean, I feel like it's safe to say that a lot of matches, he's probably going to at least be in a deficit in terms of points for a little bit.
See, that's the thing,
I think, right? I don't think he's going to be the first guy to score in most of his matches. But, I mean, again, his down block re-attack is really good. He's got four tech falls. So he can rack up points. He's capable of that. But against who, really?
Put 13 points to Stephen Buchanan. I think that has to be rewarded somewhat. I think Buchanan's number 7 right now. Buchanan beat Noah Adams. Buchanan is 3-0 against Noah Adams.
Yeah.
Beat Tanner Sloan 6-0. That's huge. You know, 197 is one of the better divisions in the Big 12, and not many people are going to talk about, but.
One thing I do like is He's very straightforward. Like, I feel like, you know, there's some wrestlers who really excel in, like, because, you know, you can either go through head, hand, hips defense or you can go around head, hand, hips defense. Yeah. AJ Ferrari just goes through people. So, like, I'm looking at this one exchange where Buchanan shot and then where the fuck was it?
It's like he, when you watch him, he gives zero fucks. That's the best
way. Yeah, exactly. So what I like about Ferrari and what makes me think that he makes a realistic at least semifinals, possibly the finals, is that every single match of his looks the same regardless of its win or loss. So he gets into the same situations that he knows how to get into. He scores the same way that he knows how to score. When it's that consistency that looks really good. So, because if you think about our best guys, right? What does the Jordan Burroughs match look like most of the time? Either a few double legs, shut him out, or he's down by points, he makes a last second score, and, you know, he wins. What does a Kyle Dake match look like? Two or three shots, complete shutout for the rest of the match. After, like, a gut wrench or maybe 1 feet to back exchange where the gap is comfortable enough that Dake doesn't need to score anymore. Yeah. Jaden Cox, like, a sweep single and then just scramble.
Mm-hmm.
So, AJ Ferrari, his matches, they always look like you got down block re-attacks. It's the same hand fighting exchange always. So, he'll go collar tie. The other guy reaches up. He goes over tie and then he'll come in at the wrist. He makes his matches on the collar tie. So against guys like – a guy like Eric Schultz, who especially, like, has been working his underhook a lot, being able to stay out of those kinds of control positions is going to be really, really important, especially whenever you're talking about a guy of, you know, Eric Schultz or Miles Means caliber. There's not a lot of, like, particularly complex hand fighters. And when I say complex, I mean, like, if you want to talk about a complex hand fighter, that's, like, Seth Gross because he's really good at a Russian tie. If AJ can keep it to just posts and collars against everyone, and he can get to his double legs as he needs to, or his re-attacks really, then he can win.
Yeah. I think the problem here is, as a freshman, we just take for granted that they're not faster, stronger than everybody in the weight class.
Also, again, the thing is, like, people don't like AJ Ferrari because of how much shit he talks, which, frankly, I don't like how much shit he talks, but he's a very good wrestler.
Yeah.
He was the number one pound-for-pound recruit for a reason. This dude over can wrestle
Braxton Amos. The best of them.
Yep.
That's how crazy that was.
I believe he was number one pound-for-pound.
I think he was number two over Braxton Amos. I don't know. I wouldn't put him over Braxton Amos. I think that's just me, but I think the chances are, if he wins this year, he's a five-timer. You know, who's in his way, though? Miles Mean, Gordon Norfleet. Those are the only two realistic guys I can see beating them at this point.
Yeah.
I can see Warner making a miracle run to the finals. I wouldn't doubt that.
You know, yeah, no, he was the number one pound-for-pound in his recruiting class.
Yeah. That's crazy to think about, you know? Like,
yeah, over Braxton Amos, that's just crazy.
I think he was kind of just handed that. I don't think there was anything. I think that just came down to bonus points.
Yeah.
If you look at who was better, you can pretty much say that was Braxton Amos for the sole fact that he didn't have a single point scored on him.
Yeah.
Right. But he wasn't a big tech fall pin guy. Ferrari was. He has the motor, too. He's not going to get gassed out. And he's just like, nobody wants him to win. Except for Oklahoma State fans, except for guys that have wrestled with him.
Yeah.
But then it comes down to the thing is, like, the more hate he gets, the better he seems to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's looked fantastic since, I mean, the only loss he's given up was 3-2, which
against Noah Adams, who's, like, I was talking to people, they were saying, oh, he was nervous as hell. You know, a freshman, that's essentially me going out to wrestle with Gable Steveson in my debut. You know, not exactly, but, like, that's essentially the thing.
Yeah.
You know, going out against, like, I'd be shitting my pants if that happened, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously there's going to be a little nerves there. You know, it was one of his first ever matches in college. It's not that simple. It's easier to go out there against a nobody.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. If you want to be the best, you have to beat everybody, so.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that he'd kind of trash Noah. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if he honestly makes him a Kyle Lewis run. That's the best thing you can compare it to. Who actually expected Mikhail Lewis to win? I'm from Jersey. I love watching the dude. I did not expect him to win.
Yeah.
I had Vincenzo Joseph. You know, after he beat Mariano, I was like, oh, we couldn't stop him. I was like, okay, I'm not picking against Vincenzo in the national finals. He beats Vincenzo, and that's where everybody's like, oh, shit.
Yes.
And that's really all that is, right? You know? Yeah, it's like, is there any way he doesn't make the podium? Yes. That's a long shot. Is there any way he finishes on top of the podium? Yes, but that's also a long shot. I think if he beats his seed, that's a win. You know?
Yes.
But he wants to win more than anything.
Yeah.
If he does, no matter if you want to believe it or not, he's going to make history. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Gable might too. How often have you seen a guy make the Olympic team without winning a national title? A guy that's still in college. It's like,
yeah.
Obviously Gable's probably going to win, but actually, no, there's no but to that. Let's be honest now. But yeah, that's really it, man. Like, I don't, like, he's so big of a wild card. It's like, oh, you don't know what to do. And again, you know, guys were asking for Big 12. Like, who really is in the Big 12 except for AJ Ferrari and Dayton Fix? Let's be honest now.
Yeah.
Dayton Fix. I'm a Penn State fan, and Dayton Fix is my pick to win nationals over Rombrow Young. I'm 5-2 in the finals. That's really it. I wouldn't be surprised if Rombrow Young wins. He's made improvements, I think. Dayton Fix's style completely shuts down Roman.
Yeah, so it's someone that's, like, pretty much as fast as Roman. Like, not faster, but...
I wouldn't say as fast. It's still
good enough timing gap to react.
Yeah. It's, you know, slickness versus speed.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest downfall. DeSanto's not that slick. You can tell what DeSanto's going to do from a mile away. It's whether you can stop it or not. And that's kind of the thing there. That's exactly what it's going to come down to. Dayton Fix is well at hiding his next move.
Yeah.
You know, and if the inside trip comes, there's no telling if Roman might get pinned or not. Like, it's happened before. So,
yeah.
I think that's really it, though. Like, any final words? Like, let's be honest, though. Like, anything?
No, not really. No, I mean, he's not my pick, but he could win it. So, that's all.
I wouldn't be surprised if Roman. I wouldn't be surprised if DeSanto wins. Let's be honest now. I would be a little surprised after what happened in the Big Ten Finals. He looked to get handled, and Roman broke him. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
That's really it. But anyways, that being said, thank you guys for listening to Late Night Shots podcast. This is kind of a shorter one today. We didn't have that much time to film today. We're trying to get one out for you every day because I know a few people listen to this on the regular. We really appreciate your support. But this has been episode 58 of Late Night Shots, and we will see you guys again tomorrow.
Hey, peace.